Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Glad to be back in the studio. Our contact information on the web is always equip.org and via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, as always, standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We have available something for you, something to equip you. And it is available for those who are supporting the ministry, the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. It deals with so many different issues. Many of the entries are questions that you encounter or will encounter, but maybe at the present haven't encountered yet. For example, Baha'i. How many people have run into the Baha'i? Well, this is an offshoot of Islam, and people need to know what it is, because there are some important lessons to learn. The idea is that just as John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus, so a Persian prophet known as the Bab, or the Gate, prepared the way for Baha'u'llah, glory of God. And he was the founder of Baha'i. Baha'is believe that Baha'u'llah is a greater manifestation of God than even Moses, Muhammad, or Messiah. And therefore, the Baha'i thrust towards the unification of all religions is primed for failure. Islam, the mother religion of Baha'i, would not and could not consider Baha'u'llah as a prophet of God greater than Muhammad, and neither could Christianity, who is committed to Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, consider anyone greater than Christ. Baha'i teaches that every few hundred years, the spirit and attributes of divinity are mirrored in a new messenger and a new manifestation of God. Each revelator reveals as much revelation as the faithful at that particular time, again, according to Baha'i, are ready to receive. As such, Moses, Buddha, Confucius, Christ, Muhammad, Krishna, all paved the way toward the ultimate revelations personified in the Bab and Baha'u'llah. Now, there's a fallacy here. And that fallacy is that the revelators and their revelations directly conflict with one another. Moses was fiercely monotheistic. Zoroaster and Krishna were polytheistic. And the Quran condemns Christ's claim to be the Son of God as the unforgivable sin of shirk. Now, the point here is that logically, the messengers and manifestations can all be wrong, but they can't all be right. One final point, and that is that Baha'i explicitly denies objective truth claims of Christianity like the Trinity, the virgin birth, the incarnation, the resurrection, even the second coming of Jesus Christ. And while the Bab said that Baha'u'llah was the quintessential messenger and manifestation of God, the best beloved and the desire of the world, the Bible says something very, very different. It says Christ is the exact representation of God, all the fullness of deity, lives in Christ in bodily form. Again, the messengers and manifestations can all be wrong, but they can't all be right. And so Baha'u'llah cannot be the final messenger and manifestation of God. That's what's wrong with Baha'i. Just one more entry in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated and available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreaches around the world. Again, you can secure your copy on the web in a safe, secure fashion. Just go to equip.org. A full board. We'll go right to the calls. First up, Charles. He's listening in Missouri. Hi, Charles.
Yeah, hi, Hank. Someone had brought up the question of whether the disciples of Christ had healing power before the ascension of Christ or before Pentecost. So what's your opinion of that? According to Mark chapter 6, that's what kind of threw me off a little bit.
Yeah, I think what you have to do is look at what the Bible actually says. Jesus sent out the 12 and gave them authority over demons and gave them authority to heal. And you find that in various passages, Mark chapter 6, as well as Luke chapter 9. I love what Dr. Luke says in chapter 9. Jesus called the 12 together, and he gave them power and authority to drive out all the demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And then he told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. And if people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. So they set out and they went from village to village preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. So Christ commissioned his disciples and they had the power to do the works of God, demonstrating that like the Old Testament prophets who were able to prophesy, therefore demonstrating they were genuine prophets, the apostles were able to heal, demonstrating that they were really the apostles of Jesus Christ and not counterfeits.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Frank.
You got it. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Robert listening in Tennessee. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Hank, love your show, listen to it, can't wait till it comes on each day, and just you really bless us. I know people who really are adamant against women working in the workplace. You know, like when a woman goes and she gets a degree in something, and then she might have a child, then she might want to take off for a period of time when the child's 3 or 4 or 5 years old and goes back into the workplace. Then my second part is when a man gets disabled and can no longer work, and the woman has a gift that God has given her, is it wrong for her to go out and provide for the family if he is disabled and no longer can work? Is it going against the standard of God? Because when I look at Proverbs 31, you look at a lady who's not only providing for her husband, not only cooking meals for her husband, not only doing things for her husband, but she's also buying and selling property and making an income. Is that not kind of working?
Well, sure, and I think that you did a very wise thing to answer your question by going to the Scripture. I think that there are ample examples in Scripture for women exercising their gifts, and those gifts are not relegated to teaching young children. But certainly, we have to realize the significance of that. And my wife is a classic example. We have 12 kids, and she was extraordinarily accomplished when we got married. In fact, I was kind of hoping that she would support me instead of me supporting her. But, you know, as it turned out, she's used her gifts to nurture our children as well as to take care of many of the things that I'm just not as gifted at. So we're using our individual gifts, but she's also chosen, I think, the better thing, which is to say that she recognizes the importance of not just having children, but nurturing those children, caring for their lives, their habits, their futures, because she recognizes that they're going to have an incredible impact on the world. So she has selflessly invested herself in those children. So I don't think that you can set one example up as the barometer. There are various examples. There are people who work outside the home for reasons that you mentioned and other reasons. And there are other people that do, as my wife has done, taken the gifts and used them inside the home, come alongside of me. Without her, I couldn't do what I do. So it's very much complementary, and this complementarity, I think, is important in marriage. That's also important in the mission of women. We're coming up to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And remember our app. You can get the app. Just go to equip.org/app. You can hear the broadcast live, archived, articles, and even donate.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the Christian faith over the radio waves, through the written word, and by preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank is closer to Christ than ever before, and wants you to learn from his experiences detailed in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. Don't go anywhere. The Bible Answer Man will return right after this. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org.
now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Steve. He's listening in Missouri. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Hank. I was just talking to someone and explaining how Jesus is God, and he asked me, why is he called the Son of God? And I didn't quite know how to answer that.
He is God the Son. One of the things that we have to recognize is that words and phrases are not univocal. They are equivocal. They take on the meaning that is poured into the word within a given context. And in Scripture, the Messiah or Jesus Christ is found as the Son of God. In fact, the term appears 45 times in the New Testament, and almost in every case, I think there's one exception, it refers to Christ. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. And as the Son of God, he has the eternal divine perfection of God. Now, all of that is not my theorizing, but you can find that explicitly stated in various passages. So by reading the passages, we get the meaning because the passages are explaining something within a given context. And the given context always explains that Jesus is equal to God. So Son is not meant in a physical sense. That's what the Muslims think. They think that when we talk about the Son of God, that the Father sired a Son. But that's not the idea in Christianity. It has to do with a phrase that signifies that Jesus Christ shares the exact same nature with God. And of course, Jesus, many times during his earthly sojourn, manifested that. And he called himself equal to the Father. And so the Jews, who knew precisely what he's talking about, took up stones to stone him. And he asked them, why are you stoning me? Is it because of my miracles? He says, no, it's not your miracles, but because you, a man, claim to be God. So they understood precisely what the meaning of his words were when he would say, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen God.
All right, that certainly helps. Thank you very much.
Hey, nice talking to you. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Sky next in California. Hi.
Hi there. My two teenage children were invited to a youth group with a friend. It was at somebody's home. When I picked them up, they shared with me that the first part of it was fine, but at the end, there were kids that started, some were wailing and crying really loud, and then there were their friend that invited them. She started heaving, and they gave her a bucket. And then there was a few other teenagers that were doing the same. And there was a youth group leader there that was saying, this demon has been tormenting you for far too long. Come out of her. She's like screaming and yelling bloody murder. My kids were standing there kind of like, whoa, this is not right, you know, and realizing that this was way out of line and really, really weird for them as well because they had never experienced anything like that. So I guess out of concern for our friend, my son really wants to kind of meet with her and talk to her and maybe share some verses with her. So I'm wondering what, if any, verses that you have that you can suggest he shares with her. And then also, you know, I did a little bit of research on, I know that there were casting out of demons in the Bible, that the disciples did that, but this seemed way out of line and not something that was biblical.
Well, I think your sense about it is correct. And also, congratulations to your kids for being concerned about this, because spiritual warfare is not the kind of thing that they experienced in that particular meeting. Spiritual warfare is more akin to putting on the full armor of God, or what I call the covering, so that you can take your stand against principalities and powers of darkness. So what's going on in these kinds of meetings is sensationalistic in the sense that a person is said to have a particular kind of a demon. It could be a demon of lust, or it could be a demon of anorexia, or it could be a demon of cancer, or whatever it happens to be. And so what people do in many churches and many youth groups, actually, unfortunately, is they have these deliverance services. And they cast out the demon. And the person thinks that whatever malady they had, whether it be cancer or runaway sexual appetite, is gone. And that's really not how spiritual warfare works at all. In fact, it's very, very dangerous. If, for example, you think you had the demon of cancer and it was cured, you wouldn't have to go see a cancer specialist. So it's very, very dangerous. The reason I mentioned covering is because that's precisely what Paul talks about in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. That if we put on the full armor of God, we can take our stand against principalities and powers of darkness. If we do not, we're guaranteed casualties. Now, one of the things I can do for you and for your kids is I've written a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. I've even developed a student edition of that. Be happy to send you a copy.
Thank you for that. I appreciate your wisdom, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Hang on. We'll get the book out to you.
Awesome. Thanks so much. God bless you.
Be my gift to your kids. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brant. He's in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hi, Brant.
Hello. I am kind of inspecting some of the Catholic traditions and some of their beliefs. And one of the things that I'm learning about is their viewpoints on the Eucharist. You know, the Catholic Church believes that the bread and the wine become the body and the blood of Jesus in a very real sense. And I've been kind of looking into it, and it almost seems like very early Christianity in the history of it kind of reflects that that's kind of what the church believed. But then it doesn't seem like that's emphasized in Protestant churches at all. It's just a symbol. It doesn't take on the significance in the sense of, like, this is a real thing. I know that people were martyred who participated in Mass and that they went to extremes to protect what they believed was the body and blood of Jesus early in first century Christianity. And so I just wanted to kind of hear what your thoughts were on it.
Well, I think you're absolutely right to point to church history. It is true that the early church, right on through the time of Luther, believed in the real presence of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a difference between the Eastern Church and the Western Church, not in terms of what they believe, but in that the Western Church was more apt to try to explain it in some way, whereas the Eastern Church was more apt to leave it in mystery. But in both cases, they believed that the real presence of Christ is in the Eucharist. The Lutherans, following Luther, say in, with, or under the elements. The Catholics talk about a transubstantiation. The Eastern Fathers said, well, you know, we're not sure exactly what's going on here. All we know is that Christ is really present. We take him at his word because Jesus Christ said, this is my body, this is my blood. And you're also correct to point out that it wasn't until the time of the Reformation and Zwingli that the real presence of Christ was doubted in any way whatsoever. And Luther, of course, in a great colloquy, argued with Zwingli over this. I think it was at the Marsberg Castle in 1529. And Zwingli, like some others who wanted to take the idea of real presence and change it, tried to get Luther to prove how the real presence could be in the elements. And Luther said, well, if you can explain to me how Christ can be one person with two natures, I'll explain to you how Christ can be really physically present in the elements. So again, for more than 1,500 years of church history, so the vast majority of church history, no one thought that this was just a memorial. They believed that this was very, very significant, real presence of Christ, and therefore, by partaking of the Eucharist, you were partaking of uncreated energy. Thus, one should never consider doing that in an unworthy manner. We should take seriously the admonition of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that if you do so, many are sick and many die. So uncreated energy for both the biblical writers and the early church fathers, right up until Luther, was something not to be trifled with. It was very serious, and it was the fuel on which the church ran, which is to say that every Lord's Day, as people got together, they took the Eucharist or the Lord's table because this was what energized the church, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. So that now this is not just working on your own energy, but actually functioning on the energy of Jesus Christ, what Paul was talking about when he said, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. He's talking about uncreated energy, and only God is uncreated.
Wow, thank you so much for talking more about that, Hank. I really appreciate it. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And, you know, it's a pleasure to do what I do. I just love this. I've been doing it almost 3 decades, and it's not as though I come into the studio and say, oh, another show. No, I think, oh, Lord, thank you for another opportunity. In fact, before I come into the studio, I pray. It's a designated period of time that I pray, and I thank the Lord for the opportunity to do what I'm doing, and I ask Him to allow me to touch the lives of people, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. In other words, not simply to overwhelm someone with an answer, but rather to do something that I cannot do, and that is to change hearts and perhaps create a movement of believers that are change agents in the world, not cultural imitators, but cultural initiators. And this is one of the reasons that I ask people to stand with me in the battle for life and truth. We can make a difference. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.